KXW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media
News
app.
I'm Mark Remillard. The U.S. stepping back from an economic precipice as the U.S. Senate has approved a bill to raise the debt ceiling, staving off a default just days before the deadline. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said of a default,
"This debt ceiling deal does nothing to limit the Senate's ability to appropriate emergency supplemental funds to ensure our military capabilities are sufficient to deter China, Russia, and our other adversaries."
Questions being raised about an engineering report issued just last week about the apartment building in Davenport, Iowa, that partially collapsed on Sunday. The report said the building was at imminent risk of crumbling, yet neither the owner nor city officials warned residents. Three people are missing and feared dead. At the Scripps National Spelling Bee, 14-year-old Dev Shaw from Largo, Florida, winning this year's national title. This is ABC News. Without enough water to meet demand over the next century, if large developments continue to be built, Arizona is taking action.
It's a move that could put the brakes on extreme growth around desert cities like Phoenix. Without enough water, the state says new building projects in parts of Maricopa County will not be approved. Arizona's Department of Water Resources announcing it will not okay any new construction developments that rely on groundwater, an increasingly precious resource. Developers will have to show they have other sources of water, like some kind of newly negotiated rights to river water, before they'll be allowed to build. Alex Stone, ABC News.
New details being revealed about the death of late financier and sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Thousands of pages of records obtained by the Associated Press show Epstein struggled to adapt to life behind bars and described him as agitated and unable to sleep. The records also show how fundamental failings at the Bureau of Prisons, including staff shortages, contributed to Epstein's death. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you...
And you could be me?
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way...
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Moving Day, a walk for Parkinson's, is happening around the country. Together we can unite in the fight against Parkinson's disease in a safe but exciting and fun way. So let's get moving. Join the Parkinson's Foundation to learn more and register at movingdaywalk.org.
government defines it, you know, or when people think about it in their heads, it's the stuff that stands in the way of making work work for people. Mm-hmm. And it's, I think, you know, we tend to think of like there's workers and there's not workers, but what there are is there's like a whole range of things that makes work possible, right? So in a time when there are a lot of jobs, one of the things that happens is jobs get better, right? Mm-hmm. To attract people, to hold on to people. And we've watched that happen over the last year and a half in really dramatic ways, especially the bottom of the labor market. So jobs get better. That's one way that you kind of overcome barriers to work. Like if they pay more, someone who's facing high childcare costs suddenly sees that it's possible to work because the wage is higher, maybe, right? Mm-hmm. So things are more fluid. Everybody is making decisions. Am I a worker? Am I not a worker? And they're making a decision on the basis of what does it take for me to get to that work site? So transportation can be really important. What do I get from that work site? Wages and schedules and benefits. And what's going on in my life or my community that needs my attention, my family, my kids, or that the situation of getting care to this kid is so expensive, it makes me lose money when I go into work, right? All of these are kind of dynamic decisions. They're not a decision you make one day and then that's the truth for you always. You're always a worker. You're not a worker. Everyone is, you know, kind of, especially when you're close to the margins on these things, you got a little kid that's expensive, like, and you kind of want to spend some time with the kid. So like, you know, you're kind of making these balancing questions. And so that's, I think I like people to think it's sort of a little more fluid, this space. And one of the things that's really going on right now is jobs are getting better. That's good. But especially moms, because moms tend to carry the burden of family care, especially lower wage workers with real transportation issues, especially folks who really need health insurance to be working. Our low wage jobs tend not to provide that. And so, you know, these are folks who I think face barriers in this time.
Got it. We're talking to Laura Dresser, who's Associate Director of COWS, Center of Wisconsin Strategy. And so I feel like for the amount that we've talked about it on this show and the amount that I've read about it, and I am not an expert, but I'm very interested, I feel like our labor participation rate in Wisconsin tells two stories. On the one hand, we've talked about how our labor participation rate in Wisconsin for working age people is like the second highest in the country, which is great, right? So that proves that our unemployment rates are low. And also for the people who are of working age, a lot of them are working comparatively to other states. Simultaneously, that same measure of labor participation has been declining since like 1997. And so it feels like there's these two stories happening as far as like, of like how many people are working. And so like, what do you make of those two numbers, or what should we take away from that?
Okay. I'm going to do my big headline and then I'm going to just dive lightly into the weeds.
Okay.
So, but at the headline level, I think that the important thing to see is that Wisconsin is working. I think a year and a half ago, we had this like, everybody kind of bought into this great resignation story, right? Oh, the pandemic supports were so generous and everybody realized they didn't really like work anyway. And so they're van life and GoFundMe. And this is what's happened to everybody. Nobody wants to work anymore. We sort of did this great resignation language. And that just wasn't true, right? People are working, like you said, we're working more, you know, about the level we were before the pandemic at this point. Wisconsin has always had a high labor force participation rate, especially it's driven by high rate labor force participation rates of women. Look at us. and so Wisconsin is still relatively high and Wisconsin is working. And there isn't a story about creating laziness or being too generous with government programs to get people out of the labor market, which is, I think, what the Great Resignation tended to feed, especially on the conservative side, was this analysis that like people are taking advantage of all this generosity and they're getting lazy. And that's why we can't find workers. So that I set aside. Yeah. That is not true. We are working. But I think the other thing that's going on, and you mentioned this earlier, is we have a decline in the prime age population, 25 to 54. Just kissed that goodbye. So I'm sad that that's true.
Oh,
prime age. I know. I mean, while you know, like I still am saying goodbye, prime age. Anyway, so we're declining. You know, the baby boom is aging out, mm-hmm. and as people get older, they're less likely to work. So the long term, I saw a recent analysis. This is in the weeds, but a recent analysis of the kind of long term decline in Wisconsin's labor force participation rate from the University of Wisconsin Extension had a deep dive into this. And I think their summary was that it is largely the result of the changing demographics yeah. that we see this decline. So still high labor force participation rates, but with an aging population, it's that's what describes it.
Yeah.
Laura, speaking of an aging population, and I don't know if you looked at this particularly, but I think challenges for women over 50 are really, really real. And I was at one place for almost 25 years, a couple months before I turned 50, they let me go. And it's, they say they want workers, but they certainly would like someone younger than you.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to, yeah, absolutely. Older workers who, and some workers stepped out because older workers were at greater threat during the pandemic, right? So that you, that the health risk was higher. And so this stepping out, which was what people should do, you know, especially in that intense shutdown year, and then coming back, finding a way in is really hard. And I think that's another place where you can kind of see the thinness of the claim that this is all just, we can't find anyone willing to work. There's deep questions about the quality of the job. And one of the things that makes older workers kind of harder to appeal to is they have wages that were better at one point, and they're not yeah. going to work for these really low wages. And so I think thinking about job quality in this question so centrally, like what are employers doing? What are they trying to drive through the wage strategies, and how does that impact us? Like you're saying, Jane, the older workers.
And so I don't know if this is the most up-to-date stat, but there's somewhere around 100,000 open jobs in Wisconsin right now, ish. And would you agree with that, Laura? Is that the numbers?
I mean, you know, measuring open jobs is, yeah.
Yeah, and like, that was kind of going to be my question. So it's like, if that is kind of the number that gets thrown out there right now, and we've covered the story before about like fake job openings that companies are now just putting stuff up there because they're always hiring, even though the job's not actually open. So there's that. But as far as, was there anything that came out of the most recent state of working Wisconsin that showed where the most vacancies are? Because we've talked about a nursing shortage. We've talked about a teacher shortage. The service industry is constantly struggling. So it's like, is there trends within that as far as, like we said, the jobs that are available, are they jobs that people actually want? Are they jobs that have a obstacle because of their higher education requirements? Or like, what trends are we seeing of the jobs that are open?
Yeah, I think so. One salient difference is the high turnover, especially the low wage service jobs. I feel like low wage service work, retail, hospitality, food and beverage, you know, the whole kind of set of things around there. We have over the last 40 years, those jobs defining the bottom of the labor market have become harder and harder to sustain families on. They now offer very uneven hours, very low benefit packages, very low relative wages, especially as we've seen the minimum wage become less and less relevant, right? And so the best news in the last 2 years has been the high turnover that we have seen churning through that. That has lifted the floor on the lowest wages jobs. So that, and you all, I mean, listeners can see this in, you know, people advertising in service work at $15-16 an hour in the cities now, in Madison and Milwaukee. So that's one place where there's been a real change in the structure of pay. And I think a move towards greater hours of work, like more full-time jobs in those service jobs. There's shortages. So that's where the kind of formal and informal organizing of workers is changing what work looks like. Then, of course, there are these, you know, shortages for specific skills. And sometimes those skills take a while to get, right? So nursing is a perennial shortage where I think the question is really about, is it the quality of the job and the supports to the nurses, or is it really the supply? And I think there's a pretty strong argument, especially during the pandemic, that the demands on workers were really high. The rewards were low. The threat of health problems was high. And that made that job a harder job to fill, for sure. The system is responding with skills, but that's the way. I think that's when that one.
Absolutely. Works. All right. Well, when we come back from the break, I'd love to talk about what policies you think would actually help with some of these obstacles and how that compares to maybe some of the policies that we're getting. Do those align? I'm going to say no, maybe not. But we're going to talk about that a little bit more when we come back. Our guest is Laura Dresser, who's the Associate Director of the Center of Wisconsin Strategy, also known as COWS. Stick around. This is Ask Coast Wisconsin.
Hard in the evening. Red's easy at night. Big balls, man. Big balls, man. Big balls, man. Can't you hear me when I call? I said you ain't so big. You just tall, that's all.
Near Santa Fe, I met a cowboy riding the range one day, and as he jogged along, I heard him singing the most peculiar cowboy song. It was a ditty he learned in the city. Come a tie, aye, aye, come a tie, hippity, aye, now get along.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, and we are joined by Laura Dresser, who is the Associate Director of the Center of Wisconsin Strategy, also known as COWS. Is that why you picked that song,
Jane? Cow Cow Boogie. It's the Cow Cow Boogie by the Judds, man.
All right. Well, unfortunately, I know this is going to go too fast, and so we're going to have to have you back, Laura. But as far as addressing some of these obstacles, because the topic that we're talking about, if you're just joining us, is when we're talking about labor shortage, when we're talking about job openings, that there are other obstacles in the way of people who want to work but are choosing based on what their life is right now, that they either can't get there, they can't afford childcare, and there are all these different things that get in the way of them working. So what are some of the policies that could actually move the needle on this? And for the people who could be working but can't right now, could make them, what's the best way to say this? Like work for them. I think that was your words.
Yeah. Well, so the first one I'd like to, raise up is we had a lot of investment. The state really did a lot of critical investment into childcare infrastructure with federal money over the past, since the pandemic started. And childcare is a sector that is perennially stressed, but has been in crisis over the last 2 years. Center directors are having a hard time staying, keeping rooms open, hiring staff, facing, a hard time keeping people in the rooms and being able to take care of kids. And so childcare infrastructure needs investments. Childcare counts was the governor's proposed version of this, and right now sits at the side, as many things do, in the joint finance process. And I think Raising Wisconsin and other advocates have really been pushing for these investments in childcare in the infrastructure that allows mostly moms, but parents of little kids to work. And that's essential in this state if we're going to talk about labor supply and people working. So that's my first nominee is invest in childcare. A second one I want to point out is like a kind of pet peeve of mine. We're the only state, our borders with Michigan up at the UP and Minnesota and Illinois, all those states have higher minimum wages, and especially for tipped workers. So if you were going to be a tipped worker on one side of the Mississippi River or the other, if you're going to work in a restaurant and on the Minnesota side of the border, you get paid more than $10 an hour. On the Wisconsin side of the border, you get $2.30 an hour from your boss. Where do you go work? You go work on the Mississippi side of the border. So, on the Minnesota side of the river. And so, as we let the bottom fall out of our labor market by not attending the minimum wage, we are losing workers to this places where they can go for better wages. So that's another one for me. Those are maybe my
that one doesn't come up as much. Like, I know that our minimum wage and our sub-minimum wage for tipped workers is the federal minimum, and we haven't increased in a long time. But as far as the amount of people who potentially work in the service industry who look at that and they're like, well, why would I? It's the same weather wherever I go. So I'm going to go where I'm going to get paid a little bit more.
Yeah. Minnesota used to have, it's a smaller state than we are, but it's raised its labor force participation rates over time. This just sort of holds up what does it mean to reward work instead of to punish work? Right.
Yeah.
And I think as a strategy, what we need to think is make work appealing is how you get workers into the labor force. And I think, Medicaid expansion is another place where if I knew how health insurance was going to happen, I could put up with this job more easily. Like supporting people rather than acting like everybody's trying to get something for nothing is a way to kind of support the labor market.
And then the last one I want to make sure we touch on is transportation.
Yeah.
Because I was reading about this is, they're in the bigger cities, there's buses. But also, getting to and from suburbs in different parts of the, either Southeast and Milwaukee and all the suburbs down here, Fox Valley, Madison, and as they grow, potentially. And, I had a flashback to when I lived in the Bay Area, and I took a shuttle down from San Francisco to Mountain View. And, that was a private shuttle, but, at least there was even an option to do that. I don't even think there's private companies that are offering to shuttle people around so you can actually get to your job.
Yeah, I think that the stuff about borders and transit systems in Wisconsin feels very rigid and inefficient and stuck in the past, right? Like there's, you know, people need to move across city borders, you know, through the region. And just think about, for those of you who are from around Madison, just what a lift it was to extend Madison Metro outside city limits, like how much political work that takes. I mean, but that everybody moves across that border all the time. Right. It's
yeah.
a fiction in a way. And but our structures and, you know, the structures of coordination on transportation and the lack of investment in it both really stand in the way of making systems that work for working people.
Well, any other closing thoughts on this topic, even though this is what you study all the time? So I'm sure you have lots to say.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm delighted to talk about this topic. Of course, I've been writing this State of Working Wisconsin for more than a quarter of a century. And the labor market right now is doing things for low-wage workers that it has not done since I've been writing that report. And
oh, wow.
I think we're so obsessed, I don't know, with weird inflation. I mean, I get inflation is hard and it's hard to carry, but a tight labor market moves power towards workers. It isn't just about unemployment. It's about how long the line is at the door. And I think seeing both, you know, that this is a good economy, it is good for workers, and it's been especially good for the workers that needed it the most. It's not enough, you know, but that's a theme I always sound if you're going to give me that.
No, totally. And that's so interesting. That's interesting. So in 25 years, this is the yeah. best you've seen, like, as far as like conditions for workers?
Yeah, that kind of closing of the gap from the bottom to the middle to see the trends that we've seen in these last couple of years.
Well, there's some good news to end on, Laura Dresser.
There you go.
All right, well, we'll definitely have you back because this was super interesting, and everything you study is stuff that I am super interested in. So thank you for spending time with us
awesome.
Today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Have a great day. All right. Well, when we come back after the news, we will talk to Paul Noonan for a sports update. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Wheels don't look away. He's what you call swinging half-breed, singing his cow-cow boogie in the strangest way. Come a tie yeah. Come a tie yippity yeah.
ABC News, I'm Mark.